Hockey Talk Show. How's everybody doing? How are we doing in the room here? We are live. NHL trade deadline 2019. A deal sending Wayne Simmonds to the Calgary Flames was done. It was finished. They had it in place. No. Wayne Simmonds waved his finger no. He waved his finger no. He did not wave his no trade. That deal was squashed. Where does Wayne Simmonds go? Fiala for Granlund, that just broke just now. Let's see what Mark Stone is going to do. Let's see where Simmonds winds up. This is the Hockey Talk Show, 2019 NHL Trade Deadline Edition. Let's go. Excited to be here with you guys. Excited to be back talking about the trade deadline. Where do we go? Kevin Hayes moved this morning. First round draft pick coming back for the New York Rangers. It was a hell of a good move. I like the trade a lot, especially from the Rangers standpoint. They pick up a first, which I was surprised. You know, if you would have told me at the beginning of everything that Kevin Hayes would go for a first and Matt Zuccarello wouldn't, then I would be shocked. And I'm shocked. And I'm pretty much shocked. That's pretty much what you're seeing. If you're listening on the podcast, thanks so much. Of course, you probably heard all the news already. If you're live, thanks so much for joining us on YouTube and Facebook. My dog Rocco is in the room. He will definitely bark at some point and some point soon. He is the mascot for today. It's Rocco, the rumor hound. How you doing, buddy? How you doing, bud boy? You want to come say hi to everybody, Rocco? No? All right. We'll join Rocco in a sec. It looks like the rumors right now, and it is, I should clarify, especially if you're listening later on or watching a replay of this show, 2:48, about 12 minutes or so until we get to the trade deadline. Things look like Mark Stone is going to go to a Vegas right now. That's the rumor. We'll see what happens. Nothing official yet. Let's see here. Everybody is saying that it looks like it's done. And it's done. Mark Stone to the Vegas Golden Knights. And we'll see what the return is. So there you go. Questions answered. And that is it. Pretty good. That was quick. That was easy. All right. I'm going to go home. I think we're good now. That's it. It's done. Good move. Vegas definitely showing that they don't have everything just yet, you know, that I wouldn't say joke, but they're legit, you know, they're going for it. Last year was no fluke. They're trying to make it happen. Good to see that, what's his name? George McPhee is not resting on his laurels whatsoever. A finals run last year, and they're going to definitely try and make it back. I mean, let's be honest. The West is pretty much wide open. I mean, do you see anybody who's knocking down that door besides Winnipeg and Nashville? I just don't. Speaking of Nashville, Kevin Fiala and Mikael Granlund switching places. That's a little surprising to me that Nashville doesn't stick with Fiala. Fiala had a sort of a fall-off year this year. He was going and cruising there for a little while. Looked like he was going to maybe step into a, top six position, and just really didn't. All right, we're literally just watching everything sort of funnel in right now. Again, Stone to the Vegas Golden Knights. We don't know what comes back in the other direction. As soon as we know that, we will definitely pass that along to you guys. Exciting way to start off the show here, though. I'm liking this. Liking this so far. Granlund from Minnesota to Nashville. Fiala the other way, like I said. Flames making a move. Oscar Fantenberg to the Kings for a conditional fourth pick. Let's go over some of the other deals today. Adam McQuaid, as the Blue Jackets continue to just flex this trade muscle. Fourth and a seventh to the New York Rangers. How many picks does the Rangers own going into this year? Jeff Gordon is stocking it up, baby. Coach Dan, what's up? Aaron, how are you? Rob, welcome into the show on the YouTube side. I'll say hello to the Facebook people in a sec. Broussard goes to Colorado with a sixth in exchange for a third round pick. That's a conditional sixth, by the way. McQuaid went for a fourth and a seventh. Cliff Pugh to the Panthers. Hurricanes get future considerations. Thomas Jerko to the Canes. Panthers get future considerations. Those are two separate deals, even though they involve the same two teams. Jordan Wheel to Montreal for Mike Chaput. And the big one this morning, Kevin Hayes in exchange for Brendan Lemieux, a first-round pick and a conditional fourth-round pick. So again, the Rangers just stacking up on picks. And I'm just surprised because I thought the price for that was pretty damn high. The price for Hayes, to get a first for Hayes was good. I think maybe the Rangers might have settled a smidge. They might have settled just a little bit with the Zuccarello deal. They definitely were able to cash in big time as far as it goes with Kevin Hayes. And then also another trade deal worth noting, Keith Kincaid to the Blue Jackets for the Devils in exchange for going to the Devils, the 2022 fifth round draft pick. So a lot of picks being dealt away by the Blue Jackets. I think it's one of those sort of situations where the Blue Jackets, I mean, saw the writing on the wall, were sort of forced into this. You know, again, I tell a lot of people, you know, this is like playing poker. You know, obviously you want to win every poker hand. Obviously you play a certain way, but sometimes you just don't get to decide. Sometimes the cards get to decide and you have to figure it out from there. You know, you have to make the decisions based on what you have. And unfortunately for Jarmo Kekalainen, he got dealt some pretty crummy cards with Artemi Panarin saying, yeah, I'm not going to be re-signing, and not being able to ink Bobrovsky at the beginning of the year put them in a precarious situation. So he makes one move, then two moves, and next thing you know, sort of like when you push your chips all in poker, you're all in. Next thing you know, you're all in, and that is it. And now you're making moves, and that's what they did. And Keith Kincaid coming in, to me, is insurance big time for Bobrovsky. Because if you were to move Bobrovsky, which I don't see why they would before the deadline, now you have another goaltender in there. But I think it's more insurance for Bobrovsky in the offseason, were they not to ink him, which I think that they will be able to. And I know that they're really hoping to. I think everybody is in agreement. They have a better chance of keeping Bobrovsky than they do keeping Artemi Panarin. Now you have Keith Kincaid in the mix, who, by all accounts, you know, over the last couple of years, especially with the injury woes to Corey Schneider, has been a real stand-up player for the New Jersey Devils and could definitely step up and be the guy. Corpusalo does well over there in Columbus, but maybe they don't feel like he's the guy to carry the load. Plus, I also really like Keith Kincaid a lot because he's a Long Island guy. Born and raised in Farmingdale, just about 30 minutes away from where I'm sitting right now. Phil in Facebook, what's up, man? Joe, how's it going? Stan Bowman will sit around with his thumb up his rear end. Hawks need defense and a goalie. Yeah, I don't know, Joe, if this is the year for the Hawks. I mean, they're making a run right now. Obviously, and I say this all the time to the Pittsburgh Penguins fans, when you have the 1-2 punch, Pittsburgh has a 1-2-3-4 punch, but when you have the 1-2 punch of Kane and Taves, I don't really know how much you really need to add. I would have stayed pat if I was Chicago too this year. I hate to break it. I know everybody wants to acquire the best player out there, but it's not a kind of thing that happens. And if I was Chicago, I'm standing pat. I'm not giving up any of my picks because you got to take a long, hard look at that roster and see who's going to be filling in, you know, your mid-six roles outside of Taves and Kane. You got to figure out where your defense is going to go and what they're going to look like in the future. You still got a good amount of term and time on Corey Crawford. So I wouldn't be mortgaging anything. I wouldn't have done anything if I was the Chicago Blackhawks. If you make it in, if you continue a good little second half run here, great. If not, you know, you focus on the offseason and next year. Todd, how are you? Michael, it is good to be on the show here. Is Boston still in it for Simmons? I think with 4 minutes left in the trade deadline, everybody is still in it for Simmons. Now that Stone is done, I'm sure the focus and the last minute crazy calls are going to be coming in to Philadelphia, and we'll see what happens here over the next little while. Keep in mind, as we've seen in years past, you just have to have the trade consummated, if you will. It doesn't all have to be done. You just have to have an email into the central office, to the NHL office, before 3:01. That is it. If you get a deal done, even if you don't have all the fine points done, but if you can just say, hey, so-and-so and I are trading, and the other side confirms, and those emails come in before 3 o'clock, and let's be honest, I mean, I can't prove this, but I think if it comes in at 3:02, nobody's going to say anything. You'll never see it. It's not like the NHL has to be transparent on these kinds of things. But if that's the case, then you have a couple more minutes to work out the finer points of the details and then get everything in. So although there's 3 minutes, you still probably got a good 5 minutes to get everything done. And it's not like, you know, what's happening in these moments, and having been with the Islanders during a couple of trade deadlines, you're not getting crazy phone calls from somebody you haven't even spoke to about a deal. What's happening is you're getting phone calls going, okay, I'll make that third, a second, and you really wanted so-and-so, and I offered you this prospect, I'll go with so-and-so. Like, those are the phone calls that are coming in these last couple minutes. And if you're the Flyers or you're anybody else that has the asset that wants to be acquired, you know, you're sitting there going, all right, I like this deal, I like that deal, I'd really love to get this, let's call up these guys and see if, you know, let's go back to the Islanders, let's go back to Montreal, let's see if they're willing to up it, you know, whatever the case may be. Unfortunately, because Stone took so long, you might see a scenario where, and it's happened in the past, you know, you got Wayne Simmons sitting in a Flyers uniform for the rest of the season. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibilities here. But an exciting start to the Hockey Talk Show here as we are in our trade deadline show. I got a little boom. There he is, Kevin Hayes, new member of the Winnipeg Jets. If you're Winnipeg, you got to be excited. You got to be excited if you're the Winnipeg Jets. You've added a good piece here. You gave up a bunch. But you're making your run. Right? Now's the time. We just said it's you and it's Nashville in the West. That's what everybody's got to contend with. You got to kind of load up. They're in a good place. They're going to be in a cap crunch in a little while, the Winnipeg Jets. Now might be a good time while the window is still as wide open as you can get it. Now's a good time to make a move like this. I love it. And I love what the Rangers are doing, by the way. I think that they've done a great job in turning a lot of assets into a lot of good draft picks as they continue their rebuild into the next couple of years here. I mean, again, I know it's not the thing that you want to hear, but if you're a Rangers fan, I'm kind of excited about what I'm seeing here today. Yeah, I don't want to see Henrik Lundqvist cry. I don't want to make Henrik cry. But I thought that was a lovely, touching moment. I finally got to see it, and I thought it was lovely. But you're getting a lot of assets in return. And, you know, the future is looking pretty damn bright if you're the New York Rangers. You know, you got assets from McQuaid. You got assets for Zuccarello. You got assets for Hayes. You're flying high. All right, it looks like Vegas is going to extend Mark Stone. So I guess that was part of the deal here, as we see Oscar Lindberg, Eric Brännström, and a second-round pick from Dallas going the other way. Stone is eligible for an 8-year extension after today's 3 p.m. deadline. Expect a tentative agreement of 8 years with an AAV of $9 million plus for Stone in Vegas. Wow. Big deal for Mark Stone. $9 million? Big deal. Big deal. What's crazy is just 3-4 years ago, Mark Stone's a $6 million player at best. At best. It's crazy how far the league has grown in this short amount of time that Mark Stone is now 25 goals on average, become a $9 million player. We're seeing the trickle-down effect of Connor McDavid, John Tavares. We're starting to see it now. We're starting to see it here. Mark Stone says he has agreed to an extension with Vegas. So that is a done deal. 3 o'clock has come and gone. It's 3:02. Did Simmons move? We'll see. According to Elliot Friedman, Carolina has held on to Ferland, so he's not going anywhere. We know that there was a deal between Philadelphia and Calgary for Wayne Simmons, and Wayne Simmons waved his finger, not his no trade. He refused to go there. If you were an Islander fan hoping that Mark Stone would come to your team or any other fan, $9 million per season. There really isn't many teams outside of the Islanders and the Vegas Golden Knights that could afford a Mark Stone at $9 million. That does take a whole bunch of people off of the list. A couple of the surprising moves that have come in so far. I'm a little surprised about Kevin Fiala and Michael Granlund. I didn't see that move necessarily going down. Let's go back to the questions. Linda, I am happy the New York Islanders didn't do a thing for them to stay with what you got. Agree. You know what's funny? In all the rumors and things that were happening today, all you heard was, all is quiet on the island. Lou being quiet as usual. That's the way Lou operates. Lou is super, super quiet. He doesn't let a lot out. He doesn't let anything leak. That doesn't really come from his teams. It's not something that you're going to see. Islander fans, there's some things you got to get used to. And Lou not letting a thing out is one of them, right? No facial hair, no leaks when it comes to Lou. By the way, to show you how crazy Lou Lamoriello is, he was recently spotted, and I forget who tweeted this out, but he was recently spotted on a Islanders trip inspecting the post-game meal. He was recently seen not eating, inspecting the team's post-game meal. I believe he was in the chicken to make sure that everything was as it should be. This is an NHL general manager, 30, 40 years experience. He's in there, nose in the chicken, making sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, that is how psychotically wonderful Lou Lamoriello is and how detail-oriented he is to make sure his team has everything that they need. I have not seen anything else. Burakovsky is still with the Caps. Latest big move is Stone and the Vegas Golden Knights agreeing on an extension. What's kind of crazy here, and let's see here. All right, pending a trade call, Wayne Simmons is headed to the Nashville Predators. Wow. Wow. Kings are done for the day, as per a text from Rob Blake. All right, so we'll start to see what teams are done and what teams are not done. Still nothing out of the Islanders. Haven't heard anything out of Montreal yet. You never know. Columbus might, you know, I assume nothing happened with Panarin. Or we would have probably heard by now. 3:05 now if you're keeping track. Looks like Mark Bergevin is done. All right, so you could put Montreal in the done category. You could put the Sabres in the done category, obviously. Simmons to Nashville seems to be the latest thing. We'll see what's going back in the other direction. I would assume at least a first-round draft pick. But see, then you look at Mark Stone. How did Ottawa not get a first-round draft pick out of that? How did that not happen? Could it be that they were just so much more enthralled with the prospects that were coming back than what the other team's prospects were with a first? Because I would have to assume there was a first involved in an offer for Mark Stone somehow. I mean, everybody was talking all this stuff about four pieces going back the other way, and it's three, and there's not even a first-round draft pick in them. I mean, that seems crazy to me. It seems crazy, like Ottawa definitely didn't get the most that they could get back in return for Mark Stone. The fact that Mark Stone moved without a first-round draft pick, I'm shocked by this. Now that I'm really taking a look at it, I mean, I cannot friggin' believe that Mark Stone went and they clearly, you don't negotiate this kind of a contract in 3 minutes. So clearly, this deal was, he was allowed to talk to the Vegas Golden Knights at some point today. So that's just nuts to me. That you had all this time, and the best you can get is a second round pick. That, I mean, holy cow, that is horrific. Horrific on the part of Pierre Dorion. I continue to be very critical of him. I mean, he pushed all his chips in on Matt Duchene and was like, I'm going to build a team around Matt Duchene. And there was all this Matt Duchene talk and under his tutelage. And again, a lot of this has to do with the ownership there in Montreal, in Ottawa, because it stinks. But Pierre Dorion is not off to a good start as a general manager for the Ottawa Senators. That is just awful. Good on Cap Friendly. They are amazing. If you're looking for a website that has a lot of great information on it, it's Cap Friendly for sure. They already have Mark Stone in the mix for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's costing 7.3 this year. He'll go up to 9.5 next year. And it, you know, I mean, just take a look. Englund is a UFA. Peary, insignificant. No sickle, probably. Maybe resign if you're Vegas. Bellemare for not too much. William Karlsson, I don't know what he does, but let's say he even signs for 7 and 9 is 16. So you're talking about $16 million from a potential $21 million available for next season. What they would have had. Where did I just see? Where am I here? Yeah. Oh, $21 million in defense. Where are they this year? They have $2 million in cap space, so and that's with Stone in the mix. So you're adding another $2 million to Stone, and you got a bunch of money coming off. What I'm trying to figure out here is if this takes the Vegas Golden Knights out of the Erik Karlsson sweepstakes. All right, give me a little time to figure that out. Lou Lamoriello will address the media at 3:20, so that's that. I would guess that nothing coming out is a telltale sign that nothing was done on the part of the Islanders. Although I will say, I'm just seeing this, that NHL Central Registry has a lot of trades in the queue. So as has been the case the last couple of years, we'll get a bunch of these announcements all the way probably up until 4 o'clock. So if you're still hoping your team did something, you might still get what you wish for as the two big names drop just before or just right around 3 o'clock. Mark Stone to the Vegas Golden Knights, Wayne Simmonds to the Nashville Predators, and we still don't know what that return is for Wayne Simmonds. Again, if Wayne Simmonds follows suit with Mark Stone and that's not a number one draft pick, I mean, you're talking about teams that were panicking. Essentially, what you're talking about in those scenarios are teams that overplayed their hand and then didn't have enough time to recoup and get a decent return. Because that's what it looks like to me happened to Pierre Dorion up in Ottawa. And don't forget, too, trade calls have to happen and everything else. So a trade could have happened as long as that email went in at 3 or around 3. Then the trade call has to happen. Then both players need to be notified. And then the trade can be announced. So that's why these things can take a long time at some points. Let me see here. When you trade someone, are you responsible for the remainder of their contract? No. New team is responsible for the remainder of their contract, unless you decide to hold back some salary, and in which case then you'd be responsible for whatever you decide to hold back on. But as soon as a team is traded, that's really it. Now, I know that the accounting can get a little funky, because if you have a $5 million player and he has $1 million left, I'm not entirely sure what the new CBA has in there for that. If it's $1 million, or, you know, if it's remaining or whatever it is, I know things can get a little funky in there. But for the most part, I think you got to fit everybody in based on AAV. And in that particular case, it's got to work under the cap no matter what. Priscilla, it is awesome to be back. I love being back here and talking hockey with you guys. If I'm not getting to your question right away, I will. I see all the stuff coming in on Facebook as well. Let's see here. I'm glad the Canes didn't make any moves. The Niederreiter deal was all I needed. Niederreiter brings that scoring touch for sure. Again, if you saw the pre-NHL trade deadline show that we did yesterday, I went in depth on how needy and kind of not great locker room guy Nino Niederreiter is, from what I've heard. But certainly a good move for those bunch of jerks down there in Carolina. I don't think they're jerks. Let's see here. St. Louis Blues have acquired Michael Delzato from the Anaheim Ducks. So, Todd, in case you were asking there about the Ducks doing anything, they moved Michael Delzato. We're not sure what's come back in return. Mike, what was your role with the Islanders? I was in the media relations department for 3 years, close to 3 years. Anything else for the Isles? Again, Central Registry is backed up from what I understand, so it'll be a while. We'll start to see these deals continue to trickle in. Let's keep track so far, right? Simmons, Stone just before 3 o'clock. Simmons after, and so is Michael Delzato. Ryan Hartman and a pick going back the other way to the Philadelphia Flyers is what I understand right now. So that's what we got here, right? Nashville sends Ryan Hartman and a 2020 fourth-round pick to Philadelphia. The fourth-round pick turns into a third if Nashville wins one round of the playoffs, according to Bob McKenzie. So again, a failure to ink a first-round pick in exchange. It kind of felt like, again, with the Kevin Hayes deal, maybe a first for a rental was going to become a thing. Now we're seeing Wayne Simmons, now Ryan Hartman, and a 2020 fourth-round pick. Let's not forget that Wayne Simmons is free to walk for the rest of the year. They don't have to do anything. He doesn't have to do anything there. We'll see if he winds up resigning. I would guess that he wouldn't. What do you think about Lundy for Panera? You mean Henrik Lundqvist? It's an off-season move, by the way, because you got to figure out what Bobrovsky does. But Panarin's gone. Unless Panarin is in a trade here, Panarin's walking at the end of the year for nothing. The Columbus Blue Jackets are getting nothing in return for Artemi Panarin. So unless he was just traded, gone. He walks for nothing. And again, we talked about this up at the start of the show. If you're just joining us, whether he liked it or not, the fact that Jarmo Kekalainen, the Columbus Blue Jackets general manager, couldn't ink those two big pieces to a deal July 1 in the last year of their contracts, sent the Columbus Blue Jackets into the trajectory that they were down, which was, we got to go get DeShane, we got to go get DeZingle, we got to go get McQuaid, you know, we got to go get all these players now, and they're going to try and make a run for it and try and make their way out of the East, which is absolutely not going to be an easy thing. What sucks about this wholeheartedly is you just threw a lot of draft picks around if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets. You've got all these players now who have no guarantee of coming back to you next year. Panarin can still walk for absolutely nothing, and so can Bobrovsky for that matter. And you could wind up with a first-round exit, no picks, and no players. I mean, you are talking about Jarmo Kekalainen putting it all on the line. If Columbus doesn't get at least to the second round, this was a massive miscalculation in your franchise. Massive. Again, you want to give your team the best chance you possibly can so that they can do well in the playoffs. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to, because then what, because now you have all these, you're void of all these picks. You don't have Panarin. You got to make sure you sign DeShane and if he could walk. And if Bobrovsky walks, then you're in a whole hell of a lot of trouble. Kincaid's a good insurance policy. It was a good acquisition for Kincaid. But, I mean, for the most part, I don't know. Let's see. For Carlson, DeShane, DeZingle, and Stone, the Ottawa Senators, from all these deals, got two first-round picks, two conditional first-round picks, three second-round picks, four NHL players, and five prospects. Not a bad haul when you look at it. But again, I mean, you literally are talking about one of the great, the name in the trade deadline with a re-sign, and you couldn't get a first for that. That sucks. And that's a missed opportunity. Big time. Big time. Again, when it comes down to it, you know, when the clock's ticking and you got to just get something done, you got to just get it done. But you seriously overplayed your hand if you didn't think that you can get a first-round draft pick for Mark Stone, especially when he re-signed. Marcus Johansson to the Boston Bruins. We'll see what the return is there. Again, we know Delzato to the Blues, no word on the return yet, and Marcus Johansson not just coming in, he goes to the Boston Bruins. Because again, when you look at the East, I mean, I know the Islanders are having a great season, but you got Pittsburgh, right? You've got Boston, Toronto, and the Mac Daddy of them all, the Tampa Bay Lightning sitting there. I mean, I understand. I get it. I don't want to crush the Columbus Blue Jackets because I don't want to be unreasonable. But when you really step back and you think about it, with DeShane, with DeZingle, with all these guys now, and the risk on the other end of, like I said, coming out of next year without those players, without Panarin, without Bobrovsky, without DeShane, and without all those draft picks you gave away. Was it really worth it? Do you think that this team right now could beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? Because you're going to have to. You're going to have to. If you want to advance, if you want to make it to the Stanley Cup final, you're going to have to go. All signs point through Tampa. Or they could be pointing through Boston, in all likelihood. One of those two teams being at the top of the East. You know? Could you even beat the Washington Capitals right now if you had to, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets? I'm going to sit and think about that there for a second. Could the Blue Jackets, with DeShane, with DeZingle, let's say they still have Panarin with them. I mean, it's close. But if you're asking me honestly, I'm putting my money on the Caps in that situation. I don't care what you did today. I know it's really exciting for today, and the media wants to put all these things together and all the bull. And then they want to tell you about the Butch Goring trade, right? It all started with the Butch Goring trade. And there he was. And then they went on to win four cups, and it all sounds great. And you're like, holy cow. again, ask me tomorrow when all the excitement comes down, who wins in a 7-game series, Columbus or the Blue Jackets? I'm still picking, Columbus or the Capitals? I'm still picking the Capitals. I'm sorry. Any other questions, let me know on the Facebook page or the YouTube comments. If you're listening on the podcast, thanks so much for downloading this. You know, we're available on all the major podcast networks, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Anchor. We are everywhere. Homebasehockeytalkshow.com. If you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, you can subscribe to the Hockey Talk Show on YouTube. Make sure you hit the bell to get notifications. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you hover over that like button and click on get notifications first, because that's important. If you don't do that, you won't see when we go live on the show here. Anthony Farina, are the Islanders doing anything? And it doesn't look like it. So far, the deals we haven't heard the full return on is Delzato to the Blues, Johansson to the Bruins. We don't know what the Devils get for Johansson. We don't know what the Ducks are getting for Delzato. We know that Lou is supposed to address the media at around 3:20. I'm not 100% entirely sure that we'll be able to carry that for you. I'll do my best. But it looks like that is going to be, it looks like nothing yet. Now, they could have one of the trades in the queues, but I would assume that if they did, that that Lou would be talking a little bit later on than 3:20. That would be my assumption. So we're just all kind of waiting to see. Matt Hendricks has been traded back to Winnipeg for a 7th-round draft pick. I don't think we're going to get a better deal than that. That's an exciting one. That's a good, I mean, let's be honest with each other. That's gold right there. I mean, a 7th rounder. How poor do you feel about being traded for a 7th rounder? I would imagine pretty poor. You go for a 4th or 5th rounder, okay? It's not great, but a 7th rounder? That's got to be a little bit of a blow to an ego, I think. I would think that's got to hurt a little bit. I'm not a player. I don't have that that sort of experience, but I do have ego, and I know that kind of feels like it hurts. Let's see here. 2nd round pick in 2019 and a 4th round pick in 2020 for Marcus Johansson, who goes from Jersey to the Boston Bruins. First reported by Joey Mack Hockey, who was a senior writer for The Athletic. So good for them. You guys do The Athletic? I don't. I like them. I'm all for non-traditional internet entities becoming successful, but paying for hockey coverage, I don't know. That makes me feel weird. How about this first look from NHL EA Sports 19, which a lot of us think the trade deadline actually is, but it's not. Mark Stone in a Vegas Golden Knights uniform. I still think they need to get rid of that red. Not a big fan of that red. That red little slash on the sleeve there. It doesn't really work for me all that well. Not loving it. Not loving it at all. Jets are not done yet. It looks like there's another trade in the works for them. Starting to get some of the quotes from Lou Lamoriello. I'm sorry, I can't carry that live. Let's see here. Lou said, we don't do something for the sake of doing something. Lou said he is pleased with what the Islanders have right now. Lamoriello said, Hickey and Ladd are key additions. They're comfortable with what they have. You have to be careful when disrupting the team and its chemistry. So, kind of along the lines of what we talked about yesterday, I think you can go back to yesterday's show and find me on the record saying, who should the Islanders get? And I said this, a big fat nothing. I wouldn't go out and get anything if I were the New York Islanders. I got to agree with Lou's call here. Again, he's the first-year general manager. You want to have as many picks as you can. You want to have everything you can have to put a team together. You're way above schedule. You're playing with house money at this point. Whatever you do in the playoffs is a purified win, right? You don't have any sort of pressure to go out there and get something, give up something, because if you bust in the first round, hey, at least we made it to the first round without John Tavares. If you make it to the second round, it's, hey, we made it to the second round without John Tavares. Like, this is a win for the Islanders no matter what. Holding back and keeping all that beautiful cap space, it may suck for Islander fans today, but talk to me again on July 1st when Matt Duchene, who I really don't want, or a Bobrovsky, or a bad example, Panarin, or whoever is a free agent, and you got $16, $17, $18 million to play with, you know, then you're going to be excited. Then your day is going to come. Let's see here. Is it me or are they crazy conditional terms this year? The amount of Priscilla, excellent point. The amount of conditional picks is insane. Insane. People have gotten so conditional pick crazy. They love them. General managers love them. It's a little bit of an insurance policy. It's a little bit of a, it shaves off the sting a little bit. You know, you ever see those old, you know, those old war movies where, you know, so-and-so gets their knee blown off and they're about to, you know, amputate it or whatever, and you take a swig of, that's what the conditions are. It's a swig of booze right before somebody's about to cut your leg off. Because if the trade blows up in your face, if you give up a player and they re-sign, or that team goes on and makes a huge run because of that player, and your franchise is like pissed at you, your fan base is upset because you gave up so-and-so, and look at how great he did on that team, that's where the conditional picks come in. It's a, I mean, I don't want to, but it's true though, it's a pure sort of ego save from the general managers, you know, because they can say, well, we knew so-and-so was so great, that's why we put a condition on the pick, that's why the second became a first, you know, or we knew there was a good chance he would re-sign there, so that's why the third becomes a second. You know, it's that little bit of it takes off the sting off of a bad deal, or even a good deal that your crazy fanatical fans determined to be bad based on how good the player you just traded away did. Let's see here. Surprise Delzato and not Fowler. Probably Fowler's too big of an asset to move on a trade deadline thing. You know, it's probably a bit too much. But I like what Lou's doing. You know, I mean, everybody, including me, was a little like, that's a lot of third and fourth liners to sign. But when you look at the base of this team, I mean, you can have a Matthew Barzal roaming around like crazy. You know, you can have a Brock Nelson and an Anders Lee going to do their thing. They don't have to worry about it. They can get a little funky in the offensive zone, even though they're both those players, maybe not Barzal, but the other guys are all tremendously responsible because they know they've got that amazing fourth line that is such hardcore defense-driven. And Casey Zekas, I say this, with Casey Zekas sitting there with 17 goals, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's amazing what he's been doing. But everybody, 51 to 47, I mean, all the acquisitions that he's brought in, and I would especially say, I would really, really, really point to 47. Komarov, a lot of people thought he was overpaid, and still might be a little overpaid, but look at what he's doing to the team, you know? And everybody says the same thing about him, too. Great locker room guy. Great locker room guy. So, you know, you can't be too upset that the Isles stood pat today. I think it's a good move. All right, let's recap some of the moves that went down while we were on the air here. The latest being Matt Hendricks moving back to Winnipeg for a 7th-round pick. Marcus Johansson from the Devils to the Bruins for a 2nd-round pick and a 4th-round pick. Delzato to the Blues for a 6th-round pick. Simmons to the Preds for Hartman and a 4th-round pick. By the way, I'd like to see them get a number 1 pick there, but let's not totally dump on Ryan Hartman. Like, there's a good amount of potential surrounding Ryan Hartman. He hasn't really become the player I think a lot of people thought he was going to be. But how old is he? He's still 24. So there's still plenty of time for Hartman to come to fruition. Got a little sandpaper to his game, right? That'll fit in really nice with Broadway, especially as you give up number 17. At least you still got a little bit of sandpaper back in return. And we've seen him at stretches be, you know, a pretty good offensively skilled type of player. You know, certainly had some offense at times with the Nashville Predators, but never sort of really popped. What do you have, 20 goals one year? In 2016-2017, he scored 19 goals for the Chicago Blackhawks. And again, I feel like he was a third liner. So 19 on the third line, even if you're bouncing around between third and second line, that's pretty damn good. And never really got there from there. 8 goals the next season, got him moved over to Nashville. He had 6 points in 21 games at the end of 17-18 for the Preds. And just 10-10 so far this season. 10 goals, 10 assists. You know, you go out there, you get Boyle. Now you got Simmons in the mix. The Preds are looking pretty damn good. Pretty damn good, aren't they? Let's see here. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet reporting that Tanner Pearson is headed back to Vancouver in the Gudbranson deal. So we'll find out what the Gudbranson deal is. What else? I just saw something else go by. People seem very excited about Columbus's moves. Jamie Hirsch tweeting, quite the deadline for the Blue Jackets. Panarin, Bobrovsky, Duchesne, DeZingle, McQuaid, Kincaid, load up the cannon. Host Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Maybe you could be running into the Washington Capitals, though. Tanner Pearson for Eric Gudbranson, Pittsburgh, Vancouver. Looks like that's a straight-up deal. David Pagnotta reporting, told the Islanders were very seriously pursuing Stone and wanted an extension in place. Told the AAV was less than the Vegas agreement. Beauvillier as part of discussions. Interesting. That's interesting. In the show yesterday, I said you would have to at least give up Anthony Beauvillier. And again, when you're talking about chemistry, your best player offensively is Matthew Barzal. You know who his best friend in the whole wide world is? Anthony Beauvillier. John Tavares had his best friend traded out from underneath him. Look how well that went for the New York Islanders. Let's see here. I mean, I would have a hard time believing that he was part of any serious conversation, Beauvillier. But I would imagine that if you were the Ottawa Senators, you were definitely asking for him in return. That's for damn sure. So looks like Pittsburgh picking up. I like Gudbranson. I like him. Again, another one of those guys that never really sort of panned out to where you thought he was going to be when he was with the Florida Panthers, but still did good. Still has an okay career. Tanner Pearson never really did anything for Pittsburgh. You'll solidify that back end a little bit for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, again, if anybody knows about making some good runs into the finals or you know going deep into the playoffs, you gotta have 8 defensemen. Gotta have them, you know. Gotta be there. Tom Galitti reporting that Kekalainen from the Columbus Blue Jackets general manager said he never got close to trading Panarin. So there you go. I mean, it kind of looked like at a certain point, especially when you give up what you gave up for Duchesne, that you do kind of just go, screw it. Like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes it's like sailing. Sometimes the wind decides where you're going to go, you know? You might want to go east, or you might want to go northeast for a long time. You know, sometimes you just, like I said, the cards you get dealt determine the type of hand you play. And it looks like it was all decided for Jarmo Kekalainen. But I, you know, you look at it and you go, I pray for this guy. Like, Pierre Dorion is screwing up the Ottawa Senators, but Eugene Melnyk is helping him. And when the owner's helping, it ain't your fault. None on you. But when you, when you're Kekalainen, I mean, you better have John Davidson in ownership. You better have their blessing for this. You better have their okay. Because if it goes sour and it doesn't work out the way you want it to, guess who's the first on the chopping block? The guy who is going, yeah, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. John Davidson's the president of hockey operations or whatever he is, right? He's gonna be the guy that fires you. The guy that goes, yeah, you have no choice. Kekalainen, you got to do it. He's going to be the guy that knocks on your office door and says, we got to talk. You're fired. I like these first looks that we're getting from EA. How about this? Boom. Michael Granlund and Wayne Simmonds in the Nashville Predators yellow. Yellow. Who's there? Wayne Simmonds, baby. Wayne Simmonds. Well, you're not going to push around the Nashville Predators this year in the playoffs. That's for damn sure. You get a little speed and a little scoring ability from Michael Granlund. Let's not sit here and pretend like Wayne Simmonds never put 20, 25 goals in his career. Priscilla, in your opinion, which teams are now in a win-now situation? Predators. Just take a look at your screen right there. Predators. I mean, when you look at the West, they're the team to beat. Winnipeg gets a little stronger. I like the Hayes acquisition. But again, if I'm looking at the team, the way Vegas was clearly the team last year, go back to the Hockey Talk Show shows from last year. I said it well before the trade deadline. I said it 20 games into the season. Vegas is legit. Halfway through, I go, they're going to go deep into the playoffs. It's on record. You can go back and watch the shows. And then towards the playoffs, I said Vegas is going to go into the finals. You watch. I think actually, let me clarify, because that was a big egotistical statement on my part. I think I had them for the Western Conference Finals. I think I may have picked Nashville last year. But I had them going super deep. Way before anybody anywhere in the media outside of Vegas themselves had them going deep into the playoffs. Way before. But I mean, you're talking about Winnipeg being a point over Nashville right now. St. Louis is hot as hell, but you better hope that Binnington stays there in that sort of scenario. So even if Nashville plays St. Louis in the first, I'll take them. And I'll take Nashville over Winnipeg to go into the finals. For sure. For sure. I mean, Dallas is in a wild card spot right now. Minnesota now doesn't have Granlund. So that's a little less scoring ability if you're the Minnesota Wild. I mean, they got Kevin Fiala back in return. But again, I'm not loving the Fiala acquisition there. Now, to me, I would love to, let me put their stats side by side. Let's not speak out of any rear parts here. Let's see where Fiala stacks up against Granlund and where they are. Because off the top of my head, I don't have those stats in front of me. I know that Granlund's got the ability to score, though. I mean, I know, you know, the guy could net. Let me see where he's at this season. 15 goals, 34 assists this season. Last year, he had 21 goals, 46 assists, 26 goals, 43 assists. Now, I like Fiala, and he was definitely an up-and-comer, but I feel like the last time I looked at his numbers, they were less than impressive. I mean, long-term, he's younger, so maybe the hope is there. 10 goals, 22 assists last year, 23 and 25 assists, so Fiala significantly less of an offensive threat than Michael Granlund. God, do you remember a time? I remember a time, I mean, pre-92 acquisition, when Nashville was just so defensively stacked and just could not score a goal. And now you look at them and they got a lot of guys now up and down this lineup that can put the puck in the net. a lot of guys that could put the puck in the net, including those two guys on your, those two digital versions of those guys on your screen right now. Love the first look by EA Sports. Love it. Nathan Beaulieu to the Winnipeg Jets for a sixth round pick as the trades continue to trickle in here. Going over to dailyfaceoff.com because I want to see what the Nashville Predators lineup is looking like these days. But the latest trade is in Nathan Beaulieu to the Winnipeg Jets for a sixth round pick. So a little bit of a depth defensive acquisition there on the part of the Winnipeg Jets, who again, you know, their little win now window, again, Priscilla, to go back and answer that question, Winnipeg is in that window. Because Winnipeg is, and we're going to bring up their cap friendly in a second, but Winnipeg is definitely in a situation kind of like Toronto, kind of like Tampa Bay to a degree, where the crunch of the cap is going to get them, it's going to catch up to them. You know, because they're facing some guys, you know, they're into some guys here where it's, you know, it's going to get a little tricky. It's going to get a little tough. All right, let's take a look at the Nashville lineup here. This is dailyfaceoff.com. They do a tremendous job. A little funk. They're on it. You see the flyers and the, if you're watching, again, if you're listening on the podcast, you can go to the YouTube page or the Facebook page. Links and everything up at hockeytalkshow.com. It's a little funky there because they got the, you know, they got the Flyers uniform in there, Kevin Fiala and everything. But essentially, and it still says Ryan Hartman there. That's supposed to be Wayne Simmonds. But essentially, yeah, this is what that lineup is going to look like. Philip Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. It'll be Granlund, Torres, and Jankroc, Boyle, Bonino, and Simmonds probably. Grimaldi, Goudreau. And Colton Sissons, there's another kid that was like super hot in the playoffs for a little while there. And you look at him, and you look at Fiala, and you're like, oh, you got a little something cooking here offensively, you know? But just not really panning out all that well. So, you know, it's unfortunate the way that goes down, but that's, you know, that's what it is. And of course, you got this huge defense. Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, Irwin, and Dan Hamhuis. Again, I sort of, you could almost, and maybe we'll bring in some of the cap friendly numbers here. As I'm just checking the latest to see. Yeah, Nathan Beaulieu is the latest. So from the Sabres to the Jets. And I wouldn't say that the Sabres are like, you know, thrown in the towel. Beaulieu is not going to be a make or break for that team. If that team is going to make the run that it needs to make, it's not going to depend on Nathan Beaulieu. They're 6 points out, and you're talking about Carolina and Montreal and Pittsburgh that are all still in this mix. I mean, it's just crazy to think, but Pittsburgh is on the outside of the playoffs. We're looking in right now. It's nuts. But we're all over the place. Let me see here. Let me focus up and get cap friendly up here. let's look at, where do we want to go? Let me start with Winnipeg. With their newly acquired Nathan Beaulieu. Danny's checking in. I'm satisfied as a Bruins fan. How could you not be? You're sitting there with 81 points, loving life, about to clean the clock of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, how depressing is it going to be when Toronto loses to the Boston, I almost said Boston Red Sox, to the Boston Bruins? How depressing is it going to be? I think it's going to be super depressing. The thing that Toronto never addressed, and by all, I mean, nobody's catching Tampa. So unless Montreal comes up and unseeds Toronto in the third spot, which they're 5 points behind, I don't think they're going to do that. It is definitely going to be and they might flip-flop positions, but it's definitely going to be Boston and Toronto in the first round. And when you look at the schemes that Boston put together in the first round last year, they beat the Toronto Blue Jays. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in front of the net constantly. And they ran two schemes. Confusion in the front of the net, screw things up for them, put the puck in. If that's not there and that doesn't work, kick it out to the point, 73, right? 33. You got all these big bullets from the point, Krug, all these guys, and that's what they would do. They were essentially running two schemes, and that was it. And it was close. Toronto almost did it. They were almost there, but not good enough. Not good enough. And I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm like, you're literally going into the same scenario with the same sad situation. Now, maybe Toronto scooped up a great defenseman here. We'll see. We'll see. But we're nearing in on the 4 o'clock mark, and we're probably going to wrap it up at 4, because I don't really foresee a lot of big deals coming in, and I'm not too hopeful. The Jets have $4.5 million in cap space. Hayes is a free agent next year. Kopp, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, those are the big ones. I didn't mean to include Kopp in there, but Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor, those are your big boys. Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers all need to be re-signed next year. They're all making, well, Laine and Connor are making less than $1 million. Myers and Trouba are making $5.5 million. I mean, you know, Laine is what? Laine can command $12 million if he wants. 12. Winnipeg doesn't have that. Kyle Connor. We just saw Stone get 9. Mark Stone got $9 million. I mean, what would you give for Kyle Connor, for the love of Kyle Connor? Let me bring up his stats so I'm not talking out of school here. 31 goals last year, 26 assists. 24 goals this year, 24 assists. I mean, I know it's crazy to give, what is he, 14 years old? How old is he? 16 years old? He's 22. I know it's crazy to give these guys big money, but he's a $9 million player. If Mark Stone's a $9 million player, Kyle Connor's at least a $9 to $10 million player. So in the win now category, you can slap the Winnipeg Jets in there, number one. King of the hill, top of the heap, as my old friend Frank Sinatra used to say. They are number one up there in that spot, and nobody higher. I mean, everybody talks about Toronto and the crunch and getting all their guys, you know, in line and everything. And Marner's still not there, but he probably will be. Winnipeg, and nobody's really talking about it, but when you look at it, Winnipeg has got a huge cap issue. Huge. If you can get lucky on one-year deals next year with those two big ones, or bridge contracts or whatever, or you're going to let Tyler Myers go, which is entirely possible if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to let Kevin Hayes go, which is entirely possible if you're the Winnipeg Jets, all that stuff, entirely possible, you're still going to a scenario where you got a $9 and a $12 million pet player that need to be paid. Because if Connor McDavid is going to get 12 and a half and Tavares is going to get 11, Patrick Laine is going to fall in between those two numbers. For sure. For sure. The Predators have $4.3 million in space. They have Simmons now, who is up at the end of the year. Boyle, these are the guys they just all got. Cody McLeod. Let's see. And that's really it. You know what? They're in good shape. So the Nashville Predators, they're in good shape. The Predators are okay. They can survive. And they could probably ink Wayne Simmons. Although, if I'm Wayne Simmons, I want at least $6 million for whoever I sign with next year. My intangibles, my goal-scoring ability, I'm 30 years old. I'll take $6 million over the next 3-4 years. I'm sure Wayne Simmons can get that. And that's the other crazy thing, too. When you look at Wayne Simmons, Matt Duchene, you look at all these guys that are going to be free agents next year, it's not even worth it. A bunch of these guys are going to be available. You know, a bunch of these guys are for sure going to be available come July 1st. You know, thoughts on the Oilers being quiet. Well, the Oilers haven't gotten much right this year. And the trade deadline is yet another thing that they failed to do well. They are, let's see here, 8 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, the problem with the Edmonton Oilers is, well, I mean, you got Gretzky in there, who's Keith Gretzky, who's the interim general manager, I guess. Even though I don't even think he's been given that tag technically. I think he's director of player development or something, head scout. I don't even know what the hell he is. So you don't even have a general manager in place. We're the Edmonton Oilers. Let's bring up this cap. Let me give you guys the cap friendly. You don't have to stare at my face the whole show. That's not fair to you or anybody else. Let's see here. $434,000 in cap space. Outside of Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, I mean, not really much to write home about. Nugent Hopkins, of course. Gagne they have for another year at 3.1. That seems crazy. Milan Lucic, and that's $6 million. I mean, if you talk about the worst thing Peter Chiarelli did, was given that big oaf, $6 million for, I don't know what the contract term was at the time. It feels like it was 47 years. I think he got $6 million a year for 47 years, and it just seems like that deal is going to go on forever. I mean, you have got to buy that player out. You have got to get Milan Lucic off of your roster. And I cannot, do they have a buyout right now? Who do they have? Benoit Pouliot and Eric Greiba. So they might be a ways away from even being able. I think you can max buy out two players at a time. Danny, the Oilers' thoughts behind not making any trades was they can't lose any trades then. Well, that's true. That's definitely true. Excuse me. Look at this roster. It's a mess, though. It's a nightmare. This is a nightmare. At least you have draft picks, which thank God for some, you know, thank God for the little things. You know, but I mean, look at this. Tobias Reeder, I mean, Sam Gagne. Come on. You got nothing here. You got $20 million and two of your top players moving forward. Again, I know this is where the league is going. Ever since Kane Taves, ever since Crosby Malkin, the league is going, let's pay two guys and we'll spread out the rest and try and figure it out. But even you look at their defense, and their defense kind of sucks too. You know? I mean, Oscar Klefbom, okay. Adam Larson still looks bad because of how great Taylor Hall is doing in New Jersey. Chris Russell is adequate. Darnell Nurse, again, hasn't really risen to where he should be. You know? I mean, they're not, you know, their defense isn't terrible. It's just not great. You put all your eggs in the Mikko Koskinen basket, which is a very, very surprising move. Very, very surprising. I'm not saying I don't think he doesn't pan out, but he's definitely unproven. Let's see here. Sixth move today for the NHL Jets, acquiring Par Lindholm from the Maple Leafs in exchange for Nick Petan. So Nick Petan for Par Lindholm is the latest reported trade here on NHL Trade Deadline 2019. Linus Karlsson goes to Vancouver in exchange for Jonathan Dahlin with the Sharks. Let's see. Bogdan Keselvik goes from the Panthers to the Jets in exchange for a seventh-round pick. So the Jets a little active here towards the end of the day. They get Nathan Beliveau for a sixth from Buffalo. Bogdan for a seventh from Florida. And they send Par Lindholm, I mean, they acquire Par Lindholm and send Nick Petan to the Maple Leafs. So a little bit of activity there. And they reacquired Matt Hendrick. So those are a couple of the things that the Winnipeg Jets have done sort of after that official 3 o'clock deadline, meaning that their trade email went in beforehand and they were just waiting for NHL Central to give everything the okay. Let's see here. I'd like to thank the entire Western Conference. I'd like to thank the entire Western Conference for participating in the regular season and the first 12
three rounds of the playoffs of the regular season and the first one, two, three rounds of the playoffs. Let's just give the championship to Smashville. I'll tell you what, would any of us really be upset over Predators, Tampa Bay Lightning, Stanley Cup final? I mean, outside of the NHL, because they take a bath in the ratings. But outside of that, outside of the NHL just being pissed that they're not making a lot of money, would anybody hate that? I mean, I think that would be as thrilling. You talk about high-powered offense against that defense. Kucherov and Stamkos taking on Simmons and Granlund, the two new acquisitions. But Arvidsson and obviously all those guys down there. I mean, that'd be exciting as all hell. That would be really, really exciting as all hell. The thing is and I hate to say it, but the Islanders, the Canadiens, some of the teams that kind of stood pat might have been the smartest teams this year, you know? Specifically and especially those two teams, because they didn't go in and mortgage the few. St. Louis stood pat, you know? There's a lot of these teams that are in playoff spots right now that are maybe ahead of their rebuilds or had really bad seasons but have come on really hot as of late and have able to put themselves into a playoff position, and you're not just so sure about them. And, you know, those teams standing pat, I think, are really, really smart moves because, you know, again, you haven't really sacrificed any of your future. You're in the complete opposite camp of where, you know, Jarmo Kekalainen is in, you know, mortgaging everything, putting it all in, you know. I think it's a good move on Bergevin's part, and I haven't had a chance to compliment him much over his time as manager of the Montreal Canadiens. And I think it's a smart move on Lou's part. San Jose was pretty quiet today, right? They had one minor move. I think San Jose made one minor move before. Oh, Gustav Nyquist. Yeah. Second round pick, conditional third. You know, a little shoring up there. I'm pretty surprised that the Stars didn't do anything else. They just come out of this with Lovejoy and an injured Zuccarello now. The Buffalo made their couple of minor moves, but mainly picking up Brandon Montour. Yeah, I mean, Calgary picking up Oscar Fantenberg and having a chance. That, to me, was the big like, whew, you got to be kidding me. Story of the day was Wayne Simmons in a deal, a done deal from what I understand, to the Calgary Flames, and he turned it down, said no. Would not waive his no trade to go there. Kind of worked out for him, right? Because although I think Calgary is insanely talented, I'd rather be in Nashville. I would much rather be in Nashville. In fact, I'd rather be in Nashville right now than on Long Island, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we'll leave it there. 4 o'clock on the button. NHL trade deadline 2019 in the books. Not too bad. How'd your team do? You excited? You excited about Simmons? If you're the Preds, you got to be excited. If you're Columbus, you're going all in. You're pushing all in. Let's see how the rest of the flop and the turn go for you, to use some bad poker terms. We'll see where you're at. HockeyTalkShow.com for all the info on the program. Of course, if you're on Facebook or YouTube, make sure you guys like and get the notifications first. When you go to the Hockey Talk Show Facebook page, if you're on YouTube, don't just subscribe. Hit the bell so you get notifications so that when we go live, you'll know and you can take part in the show. I'm not sure we'll do a show tomorrow. We may let this all cool down. But we will definitely be back again and talking more hockey some point in the near future. That is absolutely certain. Thanks, everybody, for the chat. Appreciate the time. Remember to tell your friends on social media. Post this on your Twitter. Post this on your Facebook. The more likes and subscribers we get, the more the Hockey Talk Show can thrive and move forward. I will see you guys tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed our little Christmas here in the hockey community, the NHL 2019.